what was it like uncovering this dinosaur for the first time?
Well, it's like it is uncovering any new animal, which is surprisingly not all that rare, but it's really a thrill each time. And you don't know when you're uncovering it that it's something new. It's not till later on when you're studying it that you realize it's new. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not like in the movies where you have a brush and you're brushing the sand off of the bone. That only happens in TV or movies. In reality, you expose part of the bone, and then you work around, find the perimeter of it, and you collect it in a solid block of rock, bring it back to the lab, and then in the lab, that's when you start seeing really what it looks like. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talk about, I guess you said once you go in the lab, then you kind of notice this is something different. What's the indication? What ways do you see, okay, this isn't just a regular dinosaur that we found before, this is something different?
Yeah, so you don't know what the bone really looks like until you have it in the lab and you've taken away all of the rock. And then you try to compare it to other known ones. Many you can just do from memory. And others, when you get down to the details, you have to compare it to the literature or travel. You know, like say we went to Berlin to look at some of the bones in this case. And then you realize, well, this really is unique. It's different than any others. But you can tell it shares some similarities with certain ones, like there's one that's collected by the Berlin Museum in Tanzania, and then another outfit in Spain collected some that looks similar to ours. So we say, ah, they appear to be closely related to these two forms. Even then, you evaluate every bone that you have, and you put it into a statistical piece of software. You turn the crank, and it then spits out what it thinks statistically it's most closely related to. It's sort of like using genealogical software, you know what I mean? You put all the data in, and except it's more complex now because you have the birth date and the father was, so on and so forth. Here we're just doing it based on morphology, the shape, the features of the bones. But it doesn't take you too long to realize, wait a minute, this looks quite different, and then you go off and compare it to what's known in the literature.
You said it happens more often than you would think. What do you mean by that?
Well, there are a lot of different animals that we uncover here, just right here in Utah, that we're working on probably another 8 or 9 other animals that we know are new. So it's not like a once-in-a-lifetime type thing for most paleontologists.
How often are you usually out there?
Well, we usually go out and collect from several different sites each summer, but right now we're cutting back on our field work and focusing on what we've already collected and getting out and describing it. What you find in the field, you might collect something and let's say it takes you 2 months to collect parts of certain parts of a quarry. Now you take that back in the lab, that might take you a year or a couple of years to get all those bones out to study them. So the field work is only a small portion of the research. It's easier to collect in the field than it is to, once you get back to the lab, it just takes huge amounts of time to carefully then take the rock off of that bone.
So how is that process, like exposing the bone? Is it a difficult, kind of very fragile, I would imagine very fragile process, but...
Yeah, for Dalton Wells, the extraction of the bone from Dalton Wells is very, it's difficult because the bone and the rock oftentimes are the same color and the bone and the rock are the same hardness, which makes it very difficult to do the final extraction. You're using these little, it's like miniature jackhammers the size of a pencil, and you're going in and trying to differentiate between the rock and the bone. Other quarries, on the other hand, the bone is soft, the bone is hard. I mean, the rock is soft and the bone is hard, so it's easy to extract things. So, unfortunately, Dalton Wells is a difficult one to do the preparation work. It's something you really have to train the lab workers in.
So, you said that these kind of projects take a long time. How long have you been working on this project, in particular with the Moabosaurus?
Well, I first started working at Dalton Wells in 1978. That's when BYU, I was just fresh back from my mission. We started extracting the bones. And then the bones were basically locked down. They had other projects they wanted us to work on. So I couldn't touch them again until after I ended up finishing up my PhD and came back. And the bones were available to study. And I went out and collected more bones to add to what we collected earlier. and amass enough elements to put this animal together.
Have you always wanted to be a paleontologist, geologist, or was this something that kind of happened later in life? You know, why do you love doing this kind of work?
Oh, I've known I wanted to be a scientist since I was a little kid. And when I was 9 or 10, I decided I was going to be a geologist. And then I found my first fossils, and I decided right then I was going to be a paleontologist. At the age of 14, my cousin and I, we were too young to drive, of course, but I shipped my bike down from Washington State to Utah. My aunt drove my cousin and I off to Vernal, dropped us off with a relative we didn't really know. We rode our bikes out into the desert the first day, and we found a dinosaur, parts of a big sauropod, Diplodocus. So that was sealed. Both of us became paleontologists. We both earned our PhDs and went on to teach, do research.
And so did the students really get a lot of firsthand experiences with, you know, uncovering the bones or doing research in the lab, especially, you know, because you're right in Utah, kind of like a hot spot for dinosaurs. Do you think they get a really unique experience there?
So our students at BYU, I think it's pretty unique. We hire them to work at the museum, either on a specific research project or just because we need some extra hands in the museum. And right off the bat, many of them get to go out into the field and help us excavate the bones and then bring them back into the lab and extract them from their stony tombs. And that, again, that takes a long time to do. And then the students oftentimes help us on doing the research as well.
Yeah, and so it's kind of a pretty cool experience for them, too. Does it, in a lot of ways, I guess that's basically what they would be doing if it were their job, in a lot of ways, would you say so?
Yeah, let them see what it would be like to be a paleontologist. Everyone watches the movies, and you're off, you know, excavating things. They never show the lab. They only show the field work, which is admittedly a lot of fun, except for the gnats and the heat and the freezing or whatever it is. But, yeah. Here they get to experience all of that, plus the lab, which can be quite tedious, and then the research, which can be excruciatingly tedious sometimes, entering a bunch of ones and zeros into a big spreadsheet, for example, to help do the coding for the bone, for each individual bone for the animal, and then you run that through the statistical software. Yeah, they learn what the real world's like pretty quick.
So do you think, I know you guys are currently trying to go back there and excavate or anything, but do you feel like there's still dinosaurs out there? How many would you roughly guess still left to be uncovered or things that you've maybe tapped into only a little bit?
There are, of course, always new animals to be discovered. Sometimes they've been working some sites or some formations for 100 years or more, and they still find new animals in them, like the Morrison Formation, which was first excavated in the 1870s, and they're still finding new animals. Now the rate has slowed down. We're working in some slightly younger rocks, 125 million years old, and people are finding new dinosaurs in there every year, every couple of years.
Is there anything else you want to let me know about the Moabosaurus or any other things that you're working on?
We've got a number of new animals working on, like I say, 8 or 9 new animals working on. It's just always, it's great coming to work. You walk into the lab after you've been teaching some courses or something. You walk in, and you walk up to a student working on a block of sandstone. It's like Christmas every day. You walk in, and they've got something new for you to see. Maybe more of one bone exposed, or they've got a bunch of small bones exposed. So it's just a thrill. I take pictures, send them off to my colleagues that are working on the project with me. And so it's always exciting. It's like coming home, and there's a box from Amazon for you every day.
Yeah, nice. I like that. That's good.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah.
You like seeing that box on the front door, and you open it. Of course, there, you've ordered it. Here, you didn't order it. It's just like, I wonder what they sent me today. This is going to be fantastic. Bam.
Thank you so, so much for doing this interview
with
me. I really appreciate
it. Great talking to you.